Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, Nick Aliotti was an institution at the University of Oregon as an assistant coach, defensive coordinator, then later with the Pac-12 Network. You know him. You love him. He is also our resident expert on good pasta sauce and college football. Nick Aliotti joining us now. My wife said to say hi to you.
Oh, I appreciate that. You give her hugs and kisses from Coach. I listen to you guys all the time. In fact, I just was listening to both you, 20 minutes ago?
she makes the show fun. But you know what? When I meet people in public, Coach, all they say is, my favorite part is when Anna's on.
Well, Anna's an all-star. I have to admit, you got to be careful. She's she's taking over the show. But she does add to it, as you know. She adds to it. She keeps it even more light, and you keep it light. And that's got to be a lot of fun for the both of you to be on the radio together.
Yeah, I think making it fun. You hit on something. If you're having fun, I think people like to listen to that too. And you were in a profession and are in a profession where you probably tried to make it fun on the field, but I know it's hard work. But how much of that joy was important when you're coaching, like to make it fun? Because you want players to enjoy themselves. You want to enjoy yourself out there.
Oh, I think it's extremely important, and particularly in today's game. You know, I think the coaches today do a lot more of that so that they keep their players around and guys are having a good time. And it's hard to do all the time, though, John, because there's a lot of frustration at times when you've gone over things a couple times and the players just don't get it. But you have to make it fun. I think in today's world, and even back then, making it fun for the players and when they know that you really care about them as people and not just as, hey, number 45 or a player, I think that goes a long way. So, and I'm having a lot of fun in my life lately, so I'm really enjoying life after retirement.
Yeah, give us an idea of what you're doing, then I want to get some analysis from you. But what have you been up to? Where have you been traveling? What's new?
Okay, well, we went to Greece in July for 2 weeks. Stayed in Athens for a couple of days, and we hit like 7 islands.
Ooh.
Santorini, most to mention a few, Rhodes. I can't remember them all, but we'd get off the ship. It was a land thing and then a cruise thing afterwards. And so we went to Greece, and then I've been to Tahoe, as I do every year, once with my brothers, for a week, playing golf every day and just playing little cards and enjoying life. And then I took my grandkids to Tahoe for a week with my wife, just the grandkids, Kath and I.
Oh,
so
wow.
Basically that's what I've been doing, along with playing golf on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And now that football's back, tomorrow I'll be in front of the TV from 6 a.m. till the last snap at 11 tomorrow night.
Can I ask you, before we get to the football, in Greece, the islands, different experience than Athens for sure. But what's the best meal you had? Did you get good food there?
We got great food. I don't know if I could pronounce the best meal I had, but one meal that I really enjoyed was just the traditional Greek salad at the restaurant overlooking the ocean or the Mediterranean. In Santorini, we were up high. It was a beautiful view. Slovaki, which is really a chicken dish, but they did it up right. That stood out to me. But we had a lot of Greek salads, a lot of chicken, a lot of fish. The food there was fabulous. The trip was fabulous. Being away for 2 weeks is a long time, but if you're going to go that far, you might as well spend the time.
Nick Aliotti with us, travel consultant and former defensive coordinator. You're going to be in front of the TV. I have to know, I want your assessment. You know, what do you see when you watch the Ducks right now? What's going on with them?
I think they're struggling in the offensive line. I see that. I think everybody sees that. But more importantly, I don't see a commitment to run the ball. I think they need to run the ball more. I don't know the numbers because I don't get the stats afterwards, but it just doesn't seem like they're trying to run the ball as much as I think they should. I'm talking from the offensive standpoint, obviously, to begin with. And then I think they need to move the pocket a little bit. If they're struggling, protection, for whatever reason that is, I think they need to get Gabriel out on some boot passes, rollouts, sprint outs, whatever you want to call them. Get him to where he's in space. I know you only get half the field most of the time when you do that, but I think they need to do that. Defensively, and then you can ask me any questions you want, obviously. Defensively, I like their secondary. I think their secondary was outstanding last week against Boise State. They really showed up to me. And you know, they played against a good back in Genty, but obviously they have to stop the run better too. So to me, and I've always believed this, they need to run the ball and stop the run better and not turn it over, and I think they'll be fine. Because I think they have all the pieces. It just hasn't shown up yet, especially with the expectations they have this year.
Yeah, they have tremendous skill players. You know, they showed it on special teams, I thought, last week. But Dylan Gabriel doesn't look comfortable. And I want you to shift into being a D coordinator here. You know, the opposing defenses seem to be causing some problems right at the point of attack. Center seems to be back in Gabriel's face all the time. You know, when you're attacking an offense and you can get that kind of penetration right around the A-gap, what does that do for your defense?
Oh, yeah, it's really good for the defense when you get penetration, especially to a shorter quarterback. That's why I'm saying get him outside a little bit. Change it up. Change the launch point. Get them outside. I don't remember them doing that very much, but there's way too much pressure. I mean, they gave up, I think, 5 sacks all of 2023, and they've already given up at least 6 this year. Now, one thing I will say is it appeared that, and this could be a problem, I don't know because I don't sit in the meetings, Bo Nix was sharp enough that he could redirect the protection, I think. Yeah. I think he really understood that. I don't know if Dylan's at that point right now. I can't say for sure because, like I said, I'm not sitting there in the meetings and stuff, but they need to get him outside the pocket a little bit more.
Oregon State will play them this week, and, you know, you look at a guy like Keith Hayward, the D coordinator at Oregon State, and Trent Bray at Oregon State, and I have to think they're going to look at film. They also know Oregon will have worked on some things and self-scouted. So you go into this matchup as a D coordinator. How would you attack Oregon if you were playing them tomorrow?
Well, pretty simple answers, to be honest with you. The first thing is I think that they got to, first and foremost, which Oregon State has done a great job of this in 2 weeks, make sure they do stop the run. And win first down. Now, that's how would I attack them?
Yeah.
I would change up my coverages quite a bit. Whatever 2 or 3 they play, I would disguise in the secondary, show one thing, move to another thing, and try to confuse Gabriel as much as they can, plus the receivers. You know, when you do those kinds of things, you don't only confuse the quarterback. At times, you can confuse the receivers. Mm. Don't study it quite as much as the quarterback does as far as what coverage, you know, where they're trying to be man or a certain zone. And then I think they got to switch it up and bring pressure from different areas. I think they're going to do all the above. I don't think they could just line up and go toe-to-toe with Oregon.
No.
I really don't. Although in 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks, Oregon State has looked better than Oregon, probably because of the expectations and how they've done with the O-line. But I don't think Oregon State can go toe-to-toe with Oregon, not because I was at Oregon. I just don't think that. So they're going to have to do a lot of different things, and then Oregon State's going to have to be able to run the ball because I'm not sure they have to stay ahead of the chase because I'm not sure they have a strong enough passing game as far as Oregon State's receivers beating Oregon's secondary.
100%. They are, you know, staying ahead of schedule, as coaches like to say. And Oregon State has been in a, you know, seventh in the country in third down percentage because, you know, it's third and two on third down because they've run the ball so well. A couple of years ago, you were at the Oregon State USC game. Do you remember that game? Caleb Williams ended up 17-14. Stadium was half built. You and I were sitting watching on the concrete because the stands weren't even in yet. And, you know, Caleb Williams was having a hard time with the noise in the stadium. I want to ask you about noise, stadium noise, and what that does to an offense. I seem to remember that USC couldn't run a lot of motion because they couldn't get the ball snapped, so they just started, you know, going first sound or letting the center snap the ball. Can you maybe help our listeners understand what crowd noise and stadium noise does to an offense?
Wow, crowd noise is you know, a lot of teams go on a silent count now, but it's still hard. Those offensive linemen with that noise sometimes get confused by a sound or you know, just some little noise that they hear on the field. The crowd noise not only amps up your defense, because particularly the crowd noise is great when you're on defense. And Oregon State, I'll tell you what, John, when we were watching that SC game, it was half a stadium, and it was as loud a stadium as I've ever been in. It really was. You have to admit, it was very loud. And I'll expect the same thing this weekend. I think that that crowd is going to pay great dividends for Oregon State this weekend. But the crowd noise, just I don't think it should hurt your emotions and stuff so much.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly can screw up the offensive linemen and your communication in trying to change a play or audible out of a play, which a lot of times now most offenses, I think, have. We do this if we see this in the run game, or we do this if they're light in the box. You know, if they're light in the box, we do this and run it. If they're heavy in the box, we do this and throw it. And everybody being on the same page when the crowd noise is extremely loud can cause great confusion to an offense.
Nick Aliotti is with us, longtime Oregon defensive coordinator. Coach, the... You know, I'm going to throw something at you. You know, you coached a lot of defenses. I was looking at the depth chart at Oregon. They may start six or seven transfers. I'm kind of wondering, on offense, they'll start six or seven. On defense, they'll start six or seven. I'm wondering about, like, what we're seeing, maybe some of the disconnect on the offensive line or some of the mistakes. Is it possible that we're just seeing a bunch of guys who haven't played together or... You know, would you expect a bunch of transfers to, you know, is it a difficult thing to get them to gel in the way that teams that have played together for a couple of years gel? Am I looking for an excuse here, or is this a possible theory?
It's possible, but it shouldn't be happening because of all the time you could spend now, John, in the summer. I mean, you can actually meet with them now in the summer, and you could do different things that we couldn't do back then. So it's really, really not an excuse. Now, offensive line, I will say this, offensive line and secondary, defensive backs, are the two most complex areas to coach. The quarterback's the most important, but as far as complexity, your O-line not being together can definitely be a factor because of when you play together a bunch, you know, hey, you kind of just know because you've played together. So that could be a little bit of it because O-line has to be in sync. And secondary, they have to be on the same page communicating with the coverages and what you check to and stuff. So those two areas, to me, can be a problem with new groups. But I don't really buy it that they've had a bunch of transfers. That would be easy for me to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with all the stuff and time they can do now, fall camp, summer, and all those kinds of things, which is different, they shouldn't be having those problems.
I'm seeing this game tomorrow. in the 20s. I don't think it's going to be a shootout, because I think Oregon State's really going to try to run the ball, and I think you're hitting on something. If I'm Oregon, I want to get back to running the football. I think we're going to see a lot of clock used in the run game. I've got it. I've got Oregon winning, but I've got them winning by a score. I have it something like 28-22, 28-21, something in there. How do you see this game in these two teams?
I think it's going to be a dogfight also. I think if Oregon commits to the run, I think they'll fare better than they have been. I see Oregon State has had great success running the ball, but I don't think that same success should happen against Oregon. Mm-hmm. I just don't see that. No offense to Oregon State. I'm not trying to be a homer. I'm really not. I try to call it like I see it. People that know me know that. But and so it's going to be very important, as I mentioned earlier, for Oregon State to win the early downs, because I just don't see, at least after two games, the quarterback and the receivers being good enough to throw when they have to throw to convert. So they're going to have to win the early downs. Conversely, Oregon hasn't shown that they run the ball great to this point, or they haven't committed to it, and they have problems blocking in the run, and they've had problems in protection. Are they going to show up and have a good offense tomorrow? So I see a low score. I see it right around 24-14.
Okay. Nick Aliotti, I appreciate you. I hope you have some pasta in your near future. Nice red sauce. Maybe with some Italian sausage in it.
I love the red sauce, and I love the sweet Italian sausage. And it's close to dinner time, so that might be an option. But I don't think we're going to. John, I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much, and all the best to you and Anna and your family, okay?
Thank you, my friend. I will talk to you soon, and continue to have fun, enjoying your life. I love that you're traveling and having a good time.
I really am. Thank you, John. All the
best. Okay, coach. All right. There he goes. Nick Aliotti. Love that analysis, that expertise. He did it for so long at such a high level. He's been in those meetings. He's been with those teams. That's an expert. I just love picking his brain on that stuff. All right. What's on tap for the weekend? Well, we will tell you next. Special thanks to Nick Aliotti. Appreciate him joining us today. And Jaden Grant joining us as well. Great guest today. Leave it here.